time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We have a great show planned for you today. But before we get into that, let's set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is actually our guest for today. Let's sit back and enjoy Be Exalted by David Lucky.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the His name, for His name is great, for great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Be exalted, be exalted, be exalted.
welcome back, everyone. I am Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I hope you enjoyed Be Exalted. I have my good friend, Vicki McMurray, back co-hosting today. Hey, Vicki.
It's so good to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We've just had a good time, y'all, because we... this is kind of our first time seeing
it
each other
is.
In about 2 months, which
is
weird.
That
for
is
us.
Weird.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's nice to be back.
Thank you for being here. Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And so Vicki and I are very excited because we have a great guest for you today. Our guest is David Lucky, and you just heard him sing on Be Exalted. David is a PhD candidate in religion and culture at SMU's Dedman College of Humanities and Sciences. His research interests include cultural anthropology and the anthropology of religion, the intersection of race, ethnicity, and religion, theologies of liberation, and global Pentecostalism. So, y'all, he's smart. But he's also down to earth. Is that a good way to say it?
I'm not really that smart. I just wrote all that so I could sound fancy.
No. He's smart. This is going to be good.
It is.
David right now is an adjunct professor of religion at Richland College. And in the summers, he's also adjunct faculty at SMU. He is the worship leader at Lake Highlands UMC, which is a wonderful church. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, David is a husband and a dad.
Yes.
So welcome, David.
Thank you so much, Carla and Vicki. This is a lot of fun to be here with y'all.
Happy you're here. This will be fun.
Yes. So, is it time for us to call you doctor yet, or we got some months to go, or where are we in the process?
Well, if we were in the Pentecostal church, they'd call me Dr. Elect.
There you go. Dr. Elect.
But the academics say PhD candidate. So
yeah, okay.
That is a kind of elevated status. You start out as a PhD student, and then once you finish your coursework and your comprehensive exams and all that good stuff, then you enter candidacy. So I'm in the very last stage. All I have to do is write this ginormous paper.
Oh, no.
Ginormous is a technical term, by the way.
Yes.
For very large. to write this dissertation. And then I'll be officially Dr. Lucky, which I think has a nice ring to it.
It does.
So your wife, Martika, is she going to call you Dr. Lucky or the good doctor? Or what is the name going to be?
I tell her and all my family, I say, y'all better call me doctor after all this work.
Oh, my goodness.
But I have a feeling that she's not going to cooperate. But my sister said they'll call me Dr. Brother. So.
Dr. Brother.
Oh, I like
okay.
that.
Okay, that's good.
That should count. That is hilarious.
My kids joked when Roosevelt graduated that they would call him Dr. Dad. Of course,
Dr.
they
Dad.
Do not.
No.
But, it's a nice thought.
Well, for anyone who's ever met Roosevelt, Mr. or Sir or Doctor
is
or something.
It's appropriate when you walk up to him. Yes,
exactly.
Agreed.
I'm a little over 6 feet tall, and I'm looking up at him like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir, whatever you say.
I
know. That's not fair, those people that... aren't vertically challenged like you and I are, Carla.
Oh, yes, because, very vertically
but
challenged.
But be encouraged because Scripture says, lo, I'll be with you.
Oh,
there you go,
right.
Lo.
See, I need a T-shirt.
Yes, we do need a T-shirt. I'm going to go around saying that.
I know. Don't even.
It's better to be low.
It is better to be low. Oh, thank you, David.
See, I'm here to help.
Like,
I told y'all that
slogan.
He is down to earth, right?
It.
So he's equal part smart as well. Okay, so David, you've had the opportunity to do so much in your career because you started out traveling in worship ministry, even in school for worship ministry.
Yep.
And that's where you met Martika, your wife, right?
Yes, Lord.
She's in the room, you guys, and so she's over here just shaking her head.
There's a lot of head shaking and eye rolling.
Yes. She's an angel.
She is an angel. She truly is an angel. But you also just kind of have a bent toward education and a love for it. So tell us about what you're, I know it's hard to, this is a huge question, but
yes.
Kind of tell us about what you're finding out, like, through your research.
Oh, my goodness.
That is a huge question.
I know. Or even what is your most passionate piece of that for you? Could you possibly whittle it down to that?
I can do my best.
Okay.
You know, I have been involved, as you said, in worship ministry for my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has just been a part of me. Even my folks led praise and worship. My dad pastored, you know, when I was a kid.
Very good.
So all my sisters sing, and my mother plays piano. I played drums. So we were kind of like the Church Partridge family.
Yeah, I love it.
Family band. I love it.
Family band.
Yeah. And, I was in a family band, too.
You were, too. Yeah, right. So, you know, just it's in your DNA, mm-hmm. you know, and not only music, but the expression of worship through music. Mm-hmm. And so that has just been a part of my life. I didn't really get oriented toward the academic part until my mid-30s. I'm giving away my age now. I've got platinum highlights up
That's
here to
right.
show.
highlighted. Yes, I understand.
I have platinum highlights too, in air quotes.
air quotes. So that really started for me when I turned 35, mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna eventually. We thought that we were gonna pastor eventually, and so I decided, you know, I'm gonna go back to school, finish my degree, and really be prepared for mm-hmm. pastoral ministry mm-hmm. at another level. So I went back, finished my undergrad degree, but I got so excited about what I was learning that I said, man, I gotta go on and do a master's. And then I thought, man, I've got to teach this. So then I decided to go on for the PhD.
Yeah.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
That's really cool, though.
That's fantastic.
It so ignited me. Because of the transformative dimensions of the academy for me personally, mm-hmm. And then also I just see a deficiency in the church as there's a lack of teaching in church history. There's
yes.
a lack of teaching in theology, I think, in the church. I think so oftentimes we orient our teaching toward a kind of entry level mm-hmm. Faith and appropriately so for
right.
those who
right,
are,
right,
are
right.
beginning. They need, you know, as Scripture calls it, the milk, you know.
Right.
But I think that it's really important to have a foot in the church and a foot in the academy
yes.
to sort of bring that balance, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
That's
would hope possibly as a goal to do, I know you were saying that you teach, you're an adjunct professor at a local community college here in the Dallas area, and so you teach world religion, introductory to it.
Uh-huh.
But at a church level, I know from some of the churches that I've participated in the past, some of them do provide a little class mm-hmm. about church history, but mm-hmm. it's always geared mostly towards the denomination mm-hmm. in which.
Right.
But I think a more global view would be pretty interesting because it takes you to how you get to where you are, basically, in my opinion. So
yeah.
would that be something maybe that you would be interested in to at wherever church you're planted later on after this PhD or— Or maybe you're not planted at a church, but you are interested in teaching at a mm-hmm. church campus, world history, religions or?
Absolutely. In fact, I've made myself available mm-hmm. to our church for that very reason.
Very good.
Because I think it's extremely important that we are aware as Christians
mm-hmm.
Of the other traditions of the world.
Yes.
But oftentimes, especially in the tradition that I come out of a Pentecostal background.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's often a fear associated with other religious traditions because it is thought that if you're exposed to other kinds of ideas of other religions, that you somehow open yourself to something negative
okay.
in that way.
Wow.
So I think that it would be important to teach that it is okay to understand these traditions for a couple of reasons. If for nothing else, for those that are interested in being apologists for their faith. Now,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean I apologize for
right,
being a Christian.
Right.
I'm
right,
sorry,
right.
y'all. No,
right.
It means a defender of your faith.
Exactly.
Right.
Or one who is able to really articulate
yes.
your faith
yes.
in a powerful and profound way.
Yeah.
So I think the way to really position yourself for that is to understand the faiths and traditions of others so that you can understand your own position and you know, possibly, if you want, in contradistinction to those other traditions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For me, it's more about understanding the cultures and the traditions of others to be able to love them to a greater degree.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. I love that.
That reminds me of this. This is how I think of it. So this is like a down-to-earth.
Mm-hmm.
Roosevelt calls this the Walmart.
I call it kindergarten.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
I need the kindergarten version.
Here's the kindergarten version. So, to me, that sounds like that because I feel like that, yes, it is important to know your history, know the background so that you can have an intelligent conversation. Mm-hmm. And maybe even give yourself to the opportunity to win someone over to Christ. Well, when we were in Atlanta one time, our family, we went to a restaurant, a soul food restaurant. And so, yes.
That's why you sing like that.
That's right.
Because I eat
some greens.
Those greens, that cornbread.
It's the Yum. Food, right?
Fat back in there.
Yes.
Okay, baby.
Oh, goodness.
I never thought on the radio show we get to
fat back.
Talk. Yes, fat back.
That's good stuff.
That's hilarious. But yes. So it's just like that. So you go into the restaurant and it has a rich culture. And so decades ago, the men had to go off to war. Well, the women started this soul food restaurant. Mm-hmm. To, you know, make some money and also bring the community together.
Nice.
So we sat down and she gave us the menus.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, you all are new, so I'm going to bring you some stuff to try out. And then she was like, but read the menus, know your history.
Ah.
She was saying it like that. We thought it was nice. So funny. But then when we read it, we were like, man, we will never forget this. Like,
right.
This was an experience. So to me, that's kind of how I'm taking what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to be even more, that our worship will be even more meaningful
mm-hmm.
to us when we know our history.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, when we know our history. I'm going to go up Sunday at church, and I'm going to think that as we're singing Sunday and our praise team. I am. I'm going to, and I might even say it out loud to everybody. Go know your history before we start singing.
That's so true.
But it's true.
If you think about, you know, even as a as an individual, as a part of a family, you know, what makes it so meaningful
mm-hmm.
To be a part of that family
right.
is when you start understanding
the history.
Your history, your own history.
There you go.
And the church has a very deep history.
Mm-hmm.
And in my tradition, again, the Pentecostal tradition, there's sort of a jump from, you know, from the book of Acts, from New Testament,
mm-hmm.
all the way to what they often refer to as the latter rain outpouring,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the
mm-hmm.
20th century,
mm-hmm.
When Pentecostalism sort of emerges. So there's almost a sort of negative opinion or attitude about those basically 2,000 years
mm-hmm.
because there was this belief that the Spirit sort of went out of the church after that. And then there's this fresh outpouring evidenced by speaking in tongues,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I come out of a world that really sort of ignores all of this history and ignores how this has been passed down through
right.
generations.
Right.
And then we miss the wealth of great leaders, like, you know, we all work in Methodist churches.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
miss the
mm-hmm.
wealth that mm-hmm. that comes through people like John Wesley,
mm-hmm.
right, and
mm-hmm.
Charles Wesley, and,
yes.
and George Whitfield, mm-hmm. and all these great,
yes.
great leaders and great thinkers. And so I think it just really enriches our lives as Christians, our
mm-hmm.
faith, our worship, when we realize the depth of that history and that tradition. And then I think it makes us more accepting. You know, oftentimes we have this sort of division across denominational
yes.
boundaries. We look askance at, you know, the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics are not even referred to as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But if you understand the history, you understand that Protestants wouldn't even be here without the
right,
Catholic
right,
Church.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Right?
You know, I mean,
right.
you know, Wesley wouldn't have been an Anglican if it weren't for the Catholic Church.
Right, right.
And so I think when you understand the history, then it should foster and engender love
yes.
for our brothers and sisters that maybe have a little bit different take on the faith,
right.
but are still Christians nonetheless.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, David, let's talk about the new year. I want to get your opinion on this because I know that you said you so. You know, back in the day, you go to 2019, so they do a slogan that rhymes with 2019. I'm not going to.
We were just talking about
that. You were just talking about that? Okay. I'm not great at coming up with those slogans,
slogan
so
I won't.
For
the year? What am I missing?
It's like.
Back in the, like in the 80s, it's like, things will be great in 88.
Oh,
yes.
You know,
oh, right,
yes.
Things
right,
will
yes.
be fine
yes.
in 89.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm that, showing my age. There you go. I'll take you all the way back to the 1980s. Talking about history. Woo.
Yep.
So now, like, now we've kind of migrated and everybody's saying, what's your word? What's your word?
Oh, right. What's your word?
For 2019.
I don't do it.
I'm with you, Vicky.
I don't do a word.
I listened to one sermon and the minister said, your word. I won't say the word because if kids are listening, but it's the...
Watch your mouth.
Be quiet. Yes. Like he was saying, your word probably should be quiet, but he said it a different way.
Oh, okay.
To listen to the Lord, you know, for 2019. And I thought that was funny. I was like, yeah, yes, yes. Hush your mouth.
Hush your mouth.
Listen to the Lord, 2019. And so how do you approach, the new year? Do you come up with slogans like back in
the day, or
how do you approach the new year?
You know, I'm not a slogan guy. At times I've set out for myself, I call them vision slides.
Okay.
I'm a slide presentation guy. If you ever attend my class, you'll know very quickly. I love slide presentations, visuals. You know, videos, audio. You know, I always have music somehow incorporated in my lectures. So there have been times where I set out for myself sort of some goals, and I use images for that. So I'll set up a slideshow and have pictures that represent things that I want to achieve. I have done that. I haven't done that for the last couple of years. I think in general, what a new year offers us is an opportunity to feel like we have a fresh start. You know, there are always things that we regret. There are always things that we don't accomplish that we had hoped to accomplish. And so I think it gives us a nice point in time in which we can say, okay, that's concluded and now we've started something fresh. Of course, as human beings, we have superimposed a calendar upon time. We have superimposed a clock upon time, right? So we've sort of harnessed it in this sense. I think that time in that sense is an illusion. You know, time is the times of our lives. They're simply a trajectory of a moment that we have within history. And so for me, I think the important thing is to determine what my trajectory is. And to use whatever I can to help me to achieve that. And I think that a new year gives you, affords you the opportunity to say, okay, now I'm starting fresh. I think for me, those goals drive me. I used to always pick up on this saying, goals are the fuel in the furnace of achievement. I don't even remember who said that. Goals are the fuel in the furnace of achievement. However, that can also sometimes drive me so much toward a goal that I forget to be present. So I think there has to be that balance between what I'm trying to achieve, both short-term and long-term, and also being cognizant of the moment, being present in the moment, to remember that I can't live in the future because the future is not yet. I can't live in the past because it's gone. So the only time that I'm truly alive is in the present moment. So it's important to have those goals, to have that trajectory in mind. But I think most importantly, we have to be present in the moment or else we never truly live.
And we miss it.
That's good. I think for me, about being present, I think that's a great point about being present because I use prayer in that way to help me to, in the moment, to like calm any fears and to make sure that if I do have something that I want to bring up to the Lord, that I maybe instead of letting a negative loop, you know, go on in my head, pray about it, give that up to the Lord, and remember to be, you know, present in the moment.
Aware of everything. I think that's great. Alrighty.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No, we have to go to break. I was co-signing and saying yes, but we need to go to a break. So I was actually sort of just going, okay. Yes. I mean, I have a lot I could say.
You
about
got a
it,
lot you could say?
Yes.
Okay. So let's take a break and we will be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host, and I have my good friend, Vicki McMurray, back today. Co-hosting. So glad that you are back, Vicki.
I am so glad to be back. It's fun to be back in the saddle here doing the radio show. And it's been so much fun talking to David, so I'm looking forward to the second half.
It has. And you know, I didn't ask you before. What? You went on some trips. Did you want to tell us about?
We did. We went to New York City with our family, with the girls and my husband, and one of my daughters had not been before, and so that was literally Christmas. You get to go to New York.
Yeah.
So we had fun. We saw a show. I don't want to talk about the show.
Okay.
I was disappointed, so I don't want to say anything.
Oh, man.
And then we went and saw the Rockettes.
Oh,
that
nice.
Was kind of fun. They really work hard. It was really lovely. Yeah. It was just sweet to be in the city that doesn't sleep and just see all the beautiful storefronts.
Yes.
And you know, it's kind of fun for me. It's just the melting pot. It's just everybody from all over the world is there. It's wonderful.
Yes.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Just hearing all the different languages as you're walking down the street. And it was just fun. It was a really good time.
That's
so,
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We like New York, too. We like the
city
that never sleeps.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of stimulus.
Keep, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you went on a trip.
We went on a cruise.
Yes.
And my favorite part is exactly what you said. We love to take our kids, and then they can meet other kids, and, you know, we'll, like, learn some new things about people. Like,
right.
Get out there and, you know.
It's great.
I don't know. Have fun. We had a great time on the cruise. It was so relaxing.
So we're rejuvenated.
We are rejuvenated. And so we're talking with David Lucky. His wife, Martika, is also here in the studio. She refuses to get on the microphone. So we'll let her.
I'm talking up for both of us.
but David, you all took a trip. As well, right?
We did. Yeah, we just got back from Colombia, Cali, Colombia, South America, where Martika, my wife, is from.
Oh, yes. And, nice.
I'm of course doing my research on Latin American Pentecostalism.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was able to make it for work and pleasure.
Okay.
So we stayed with my in-laws, Martika's parents, and I was able to meet with some churches. I actually, you can never get away from doing ministry, right?
Exactly.
I was supposed to be,
exactly.
You know, there doing research and enjoying family, but I got invited to preach and sing last Sunday. So
oh,
but we had a
wonderful.
Fantastic time.
Wonderful.
So it was a wonderful trip. I got to practice my Spanish a lot.
I was going to ask.
Yes.
'Cause Spanish is different in different countries, and maybe what you learn here in the U.S. So how did that go?
It's excellent. Their Spanish, I think, is very clear, especially my mother-in-law.
Okay.
Her Spanish is super clear.
Okay.
And so
He put a little plug in there. He looked
at the mother-in-law. That was a good move.
I see what you did.
Brownie point.
That's right. That was a smart move.
So, I'm not as dumb as I look. I know.
That is so funny. At Martika's home, so everyone speaks Spanish,
mm-hmm.
like the whole time, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to.
Yeah,
David Lucky has
to get with
speak
it.
And understand. So how does that go?
It's challenging, you know, but the immersion experience is the best way learn.
Okay.
And I will say that Martika and her two sisters are bilingual. They all attended bilingual school.
Okay.
So they let me cheat a little bit because it's really tiring, you know, when you're trying to hang on every word and understand what's happening.
Right,
and then she has a super large family, and they all came over, and there were probably 50-plus people at her folks' house.
Wow.
And so you get everybody talking.
Yes,
you know, it's hard enough to, like, concentrate on one conversation.
Yes,
right.
Yes, yes, yes.
So,
good for you. What a good sport. What about your son?
He had to work, and he had to go back to school.
He's got a job.
So
look at there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Trying to get him off the payroll.
That's
as quickly
right.
As I
we
can.
Were just talking about that before we went on the air. Yes. I can feel that pain.
He had his first opportunity to be a bachelor, so he did great. He kept the house clean. We were like, who is this kid? He did laundry.
That's great.
He did laundry?
Oh, he did laundry.
Yeah,
he got
hope.
That from his mama. I can't take credit for that.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, we'll get back into, I do want to ask you a lot about music and worship, but first let me ask you this, because there's another trend that I see that I want to ask you about the new year being the time where people just kind of, you know, they're saying in 2019, I'm going to find my passion, I'm going to find my talents, find my gifts, you know, find my find meaning in life. So I was wondering, I wanted you to answer this question. What does the Bible say about that, about how to find out who you are and your passion and your love and your gifts and all of that?
Sure, yeah. I think one thing that can hinder Christians sometimes is in finding out their destiny and what it is that God mm-hmm. has designed them for is this sort of waiting pattern. And I'm waiting for God to say something to me. And so we end up in this sort of holding pattern, trying to determine and discover who it is that we are and what we're supposed to do. Scripture says your gift will make room for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that everything that we're designed to be is deposited within us. It's within our DNA, so to speak. And so I think we already have it. And so it's incumbent upon us to determine what we're oriented toward, mm-hmm. and that, I think, can be read, so to speak, by looking at what it is that we're naturally geared toward or oriented toward or passionate about. And I think within the United States and our culture here, we privilege certain kinds of abilities. You know, we love our, and we, you know, we're talking about music yes. and worship and stuff. Yes. And we love our American Idol. We love
right.
our The Voice.
Right.
And so some talents that are so obvious are really privileged and they're really elevated and put on a pedestal. So it's as if someone who can sing or play an instrument is better or more talented
right.
than someone else who
mm-hmm.
who might be gifted, you know, as a seamstress or might be
right.
gifted
right.
as a cobbler is,
right.
you know, it
right.
might be
a mechanic,
mm-hmm. you know,
right.
And so, you know, as Martin Luther taught us about the priesthood of all believers,
mm-hmm.
right? Any vocation that we do can be honoring to God.
Yes, yes.
And so, I think we have to be careful about privileging certain abilities and certain capabilities,
mm-hmm.
and say that we can look at our lives and see what it is that we're sort of bent toward. What
mm-hmm.
is it that naturally flows out of my life? And I think that that's a really good indication of what God has gifted us to do. Whatever it is that
right.
really flows naturally for you, and you discover that. And then whatever that is, even if it's not glamorous, even if it's not exactly you know, what you might think is the greatest thing,
right.
you maximize that. And I think that as you focus on maximizing what it is that you're gifted to do, then more and more of that unfolds. And I think that that's a great way to discover what it is that we're designed to do.
Right.
And it's innate within us, and it will flow out of us as we focus on what we are naturally geared toward.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what? I love actually our radio show last week was with Dr. Lauren Cross. And so if anyone's listening and didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back on iTunes and mm-hmm. listen to it. It was great. But
Dr. Cross, that's a very
Dr.
Christian
name.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Not
yes,
messing
she
around.
Was wonderful. But the thing that I'm thinking is a cross-section of you all's personal story is that she's an artist and she's also a professor.
Oh.
But she didn't even start doing art until college. She took one class and she started it because she thought when I was growing up, I was drawing, it would make me happy.
Ah.
And so I'll just take a class. I'll see if they tell me I'm no good, I'll try something else.
Mm-hmm.
So she took a class and then, you know, the professor, you know, she asked the professor, give me your opinion. And he was like, no, you're excellent.
Yeah.
Keep at it. And so she did. And so the thing I like about her story is I think the thing that you brought out in your story, like you started out in worship and ministry and playing instruments and singing because you play multiple instruments and singing and everything. And then you join with your beautiful wife and you all are doing ministry together. And then, you know, here comes, oh, I really love education and
mm-hmm.
you know, then you go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, that makes me think it's never too late.
No, mm-hmm. it's not.
It's never too late. And one thing leads to the next thing.
Yes.
And so I like what you said about you're supposed to be busy doing something, you know, not sitting there waiting for something to drop on your head and hit you in the face. Get busy doing something and follow that road and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you discover that worship and ministry was even your love? Because since your parents were in it, did they just put everybody in it?
My folks were leading worship when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad was a preacher and pastor, and my mom played piano. My sisters all sang, and I played the drums. I had a passion for drums when I was a little bitty kid, like 5 years old, because I would, at church, I would just go up and sort of gaze at the drummer, you know, and just in awe, you know, just, you know, amazed by this.
Right.
And so the drummer would put me up on his knee when I was a little bitty guy and mm-hmm. while he was playing and let me watch. And so that's just been a passion of mine, you know, from a very young age. Yeah, I think that's one of those natural things that flowed out of me, and I realized I'm passionate about this. I'm going to cultivate this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, as you said, this is it's a lifelong thing. It's never too late to uncover more layers. You know,
yes.
If you had told me when I was 30 years old that I was going to get a PhD, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's this constant uncovering of what is already innate within us, what has already been deposited within us.
Yes.
And we have to labor to uncover that,
mm-hmm.
But it's a labor of love. It's a labor of joy to discover who we are. You know,
right.
I believe that human beings never arrive at completion. You know, we're constantly learning, we're constantly developing,
mm-hmm.
we're constantly growing, and so that's one of the beauties of humanity. And so I think as soon as we stop growing is when we die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Don't stop growing.
Well, in that self-discovery, I just feel like God's just pushing us and nudging us, and we have to keep our eyes open and be willing to, you know, there have been some things in my life where I'm like, really, God? That's the direction you think I should go? I don't know anything about this, but
mm-hmm.
it's beautiful how it unfolds if you'll just say yes to it and allow yourself to have that discovery.
There you go. This radio show is one
of those
radio things.
Yes, we've talked about it for a long time, but just sort of.
We had no idea.
What
no prior experience until our first radio show.
No.
But I interrupted you. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No. Just being willing to be flexible, I think, is really important because so many times we get really. We get really set in our mind what it is we want to accomplish and what we want to do. And so inevitably, life ends up not looking like we thought it would look.
Right. It's almost like having blinders on because you're just set in this course and you're missing all the fabulous nuggets that are being thrown your way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
amazing.
It's an orientation of openness to say that, look, what scriptures say, man or woman plans their way, but God directs their path, right?
Yes.
So again, we can say, you know, we have all these plans, we can have these strategies, we got this new year thing going that, you know, that we really want to accomplish, we have these goals, but it's about being present in the moment and being willing to be directed.
Yes.
Being willing
yes.
and being flexible and being open to hear and to be directed and for things not to necessarily look like we thought they were going to look, and that's okay.
And we don't have control. Okay. I mean, that's really the essence of what we're talking about, too, is that we don't have any control.
Mm-hmm.
And
isn't that comfortable? Yay. Thanks.
Yes, yay, thanks.
Thanks,
I
God.
Know. I like to think every day when I wake up I got some control, but really I have none. And it is just trying to let go of that is
try praying
difficult.
That. I'm out of control every single day. I have no control over my life.
Right.
And I'm okay
thanks,
with it.
God.
Come on, Jesus.
And I'm okay with that.
That's right.
And then trying to figure out how to work hard despite that.
Right,
you know,
Right.
You know, I think it's helpful to say this is how I'm naturally bent and oriented, so I'm going to do the very best I can to steward that.
Yes, that's good. So let's talk about worship, and I know because I'm very interested to hear about your research and different cultures, and I know because one time I filled in for you at Lake Highlands, led worship there while you were going on a research trip.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
oh, sure.
Held it down for me.
Enjoyed it.
And when I came back, they were like, oh, you're back already?
I know they weren't.
She's good, but I'm sure you're awesome.
No, yes. No, they were like, when are you coming
back?
They're
like, can you get Carla back in here, please?
No. I had a great time. But I want to hear about your research and because it truly was about worship and different styles of worship, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm exploring how the theological identity of Pentecostals is constructed and largely based on their experiences of worship, their experiences and understanding of God. Of course, experience is a key word for mm-hmm. Pentecostals. Mm-hmm. So the overall thrust of my dissertation is to demonstrate that Pentecostals are not only concerned with the spiritual well-being of human beings, mm-hmm. but they're also concerned with the social ethics that should go along with being a Christian. And that is to say that they're concerned with people's material and physical and natural needs as well, mm-hmm. Because there's a stereotypical image of Pentecostals that they are so, we might say, so heavenly-minded that they're no earthly good.
Okay, yeah.
So mm-hmm. I want to address that because that can often be the case where mm-hmm. there's more concern about the condition of one's soul mm-hmm. To the detriment of caring for their actual physical needs. Mm-hmm. But there are many cases, and increasingly so, I would say, where Pentecostals are really concerned with the natural needs of people, be it the impoverished who mm-hmm. are in need of food, that mm-hmm. are in need of clothing, need of shelter, those who are sick, that need medical care. Mm-hmm. And there are many instances where Pentecostal churches and ministries are doing their very best to address these material needs as well. And so what I'm doing in going to Colombia is to try to find these Pentecostal ministries that are engaged in these kinds of efforts. And so this past two trips, the first mm-hmm. one that you covered for mm-hmm. me back in July, I connected with a church in Cali. And then they told me about a ministry they have to mothers who have children with cancer. And so this second trip that we just returned from, we had the opportunity to actually go to the hospital and to see these children mm-hmm. and to talk with the director of this ministry. So this church has a ministry that addresses the needs of these families. Mm-hmm. So they not only do they go and provide spiritual care, but they also provide them clothing. They provide them monetary assistance. They provide food. They also provide psychological counseling. The mm-hmm. director of this ministry has a degree in psychology.
Okay.
So they're, of course, caring for spiritual needs.
Right.
But the theology of the pastor is that if we first demonstrate the love of God
yes.
for their needs, mm-hmm. then they will, then after that, subsequent to that, then
yes.
They'll be more open, more receptive to the spiritual dimensions that mm-hmm. we have mm-hmm. to offer them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's an excellent case study to demonstrate
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
that there are many Pentecostals who are actually engaged in social ethical ministry
yes.
In the world, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Isn't that, though, what we're called to do?
I believe so.
I mean, excuse me, listening to that, I'm like, well, I feel like every day when I wake up, that is what I'm called to do, is to
yes.
love. I was just having a conversation with a friend who was over last night, and we were talking about, you know, the basic tenet of the Bible to me is, you know, Jesus talks about love. I mean, he purposely pulls people that society has rejected
yeah.
to show that
yes.
we are to love each other
mm-hmm.
regardless of choices they have made.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how do we do that? Because I feel like I live in a very small town. And I don't know all my neighbors. So we were talking about how, and some of them that I know choose a different lifestyle. And so, you know, I'm called to love you and to get to know you. And that is my ministry,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that's so hard. I could go off on a tangent, but I just think it's really beautiful that what they're doing. But so in particular, I guess my other thought as you were talking is mm-hmm. you're focused on Pentecostal because that's what you grew up in.
That is a big part of what motivated my research in
okay.
that direction.
I have little experience in a Pentecostal church. So
okay.
She and I sang at one a few months ago. And
I was going to say, you have a little.
I have a little. It wouldn't be my comfort
Y'all,
zone, but it was fascinating.
I have to share. This is a funny story.
I know
so
what
funny.
She's going to say.
So,
she's going to tell on
so,
you.
So, yes, I have to. I'm
embarrassed.
I have to tell on you.
Oh, you can, so, but I'm embarrassed.
So we all we go and we're doing worship with this congregation, and they are so like, they are like
fire
ready,
yes.
Like from beat one,
my
like they are ready.
They were.
Yes. Thank you. So,
and I have no clue.
So Vicky, right.
She didn't know.
So everybody, you know, like a good Methodist, you know, I handed out the jobs of everybody. Uh-huh. Everything's, you know,
we know what our assignments
are. We know what
we're
going
to
do.
Yes.
So her assignment was to start off and share scripture and, you know, share what it meant to her. So she is going forth. She's doing a great job. So she's got it all down. She's prepared. She's going forth. They are like, amen. And they're all into it, coming up forward towards her. Because, like, she's doing a good job. They're stepping up, you know, close to her.
And I am freaking out. And in my head, I'm like, I kind of looked at Carla and I want to say, excuse me, it's my turn to talk.
You all be quiet.
You be quiet because I'm talking right now, but you're
Carla
talking
told
over
me to share
me.
This scripture. Yeah, be quiet.
You're yelling over me. Though you're yelling nice things, you're not telling me to be quiet. I don't understand why you're talking over me.
That's awesome.
I had no idea. And I did. I remember I kind of stopped for a minute, looked at her like, what am I supposed to do?
They're
all screaming over me. And it was all good. Now, my experience was fabulous there. And
yes.
That
it's
was
actually
awesome.
A church in the town in which
time.
I live. But, yes. Yes.
We had
a great time. It was a good experience for me. I was shocked. And it was good. It was fabulous.
It was.
Thank
great.
You for sharing that.
Sure.
Thanks. Thanks,
yes,
Carla.
Thanks, Carla.
Now, I've completely forgotten what the question was. I think, were you going to answer something then? I can't
even
remember
even
what
know.
The question was.
I was just curious why Pencostal, and it was because you were raised, and then you were like, I got to share.
I do want to ask you this, because I know our time is coming to an end, about, because Rosebud and I came recently to see you. Mm-hmm. You're playing jazz, so you're back playing jazz, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so do you have anything coming up? That's what I wanted to know.
I don't have anything.
You got some dates coming up?
I haven't booked anything for the new year. I'm really trying to buckle down and get this dissertation written.
I understand that.
And then I start back teaching next week. And so that's really my fun gig, you know, just to kind of go and have some fun and lay back. I love the old, you know, standard Sinatra and all that. So I just sort of do that to blow off steam and have a good time.
Yeah,
you know,
have
and,
that creative outlet.
Yeah.
So I understand. It was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you.
We so enjoyed it. So tell us how we can follow you on social media and how everyone can just kind of keep up with Dr. David Lucky.
The future Dr. Lucky.
Dr. Brother.
Dr.
Brother Lucky.
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram at Lucky Rhythms. And then I also have a website, luckyrhythms.com.
Okay.
And it's spelled L-U-C-K-E-Y.
Okay.
So that there's a little twist on lucky there. And then Rhythms is R-H-Y-T-H-M-S. You'd be amazed how many people can't spell Rhythms.
Right.
It's a difficult word to spell.
I understand.
So luckyrhythms.com or Lucky Rhythms on Instagram.
Okay, great.
And then, of course, if you are interested in taking Introduction to World Religions, come to Richland and sign up for my class. We have a blast.
Yeah.
And if they want to see you worship? If they want to participate in worship?
Yeah. Lake Highlands United Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. Our service is called Relate, and we meet at 11 a.m. on Sundays.
Wonderful.
So. Yeah, it's a wonderful
what
service.
What a blessing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful service. Well, David, thank you so much for
my
being
pleasure.
Here. We truly appreciate it. Truly appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us on the new
thank
year.
You.
I know. I want you to come back once you receive your doctorate. I would just really like to hear how that whole process was for you.
Yes.
And
just I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, I'm willing to come back if y'all are willing to put up with me.
We're willing to put up with you, so you're officially invited back. Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about them on their website, Love Ministries. Builds.org. Go to our social media at EHEW Radio or our website EHEWRadio.com. If you have missed any one of our radio shows, go back to our podcast on iTunes. We've got everything there. You can subscribe to us, and we thank you for leaving us a 5-star rating. Well, everyone, and thank you, Vicky, so
thank you,
much.
Sweet Carla.
I am Carla Nivens, and we will see you back next week.